Hi, I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Gordon Lawson, president and chief revenue officer at Rangeforce, developers of the world's most comprehensive cybersecurity training and cyber skills assessment program. To learn more about Rangeforce, visit rangeforce.com. Gordon, welcome. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Steve. Really appreciate the opportunity.
So Gordon, to get started, maybe you can give us some history and put the CyberRange market in perspective. First off, what exactly is a CyberRange?
Yeah, so it's a great question, and it's a space that's been around for a little bit, but really in its current iteration, it's certainly evolved a lot. But traditionally, a CyberRange was a dedicated environment. It often involved on-premise hardware, very expensive to stand up, where red and blue teams could go through a full attack simulation. They could use realistic tools, and they could get to experience real threat vectors and defend against those threat vectors in a very realistic environment.
So the first CyberRanges in the U.S. Were confined to secret programs in the U.S. Department of Defense, along with defense contractors, and they were for cleared staff only. Is that right?
For the most part, yes. That's certainly how they started. Certainly folks like NSA and other government agencies and other components of DoD have been doing this for years. Our history as a company was helping to build out the NATO CyberRange in the mid and early 2000s. But yes, it typically was confined to cleared personnel. And as a formal naval officer, I'm familiar with those kind of environments. And it just made it very, very difficult for people to really get hands-on. If you weren't a part of the military or weren't in the intelligence community, very, very difficult to be able to learn in that sort of realistic environment.
Now, some of the first CyberRanges emerged in universities. Is that right? Before we really started to see them in the commercial sector?
For sure. They certainly started in universities. They started migrating. I think that the state of Michigan was one of the first actual states to sponsor things and to bring it out of that DoD military type environment. States got grants. They started standing these things up. And that really, I think, broke the whole CyberRange into a more commercial mainstream market from there. But yes, absolutely. It went from DoD to academia, state governments, and then I think that larger corporations certainly started standing up and building out their own custom cyber ranges, and now companies like Rangeforce have brought it into the mainstream where anyone can have access to a very hands-on cyber range-like environment and a very realistic environment to train their people.
Now, what Rangeforce is doing is very cutting edge. You have a cloud-based platform, but before we ask you about that, what did the CyberRange market look like before you emerged? It's still a relatively new market, that's why I ask.
It is a new market, and I think that sometimes it's useful to talk about analogies and how we kind of parallel other markets. So I spent time in the security awareness market. You know, companies like Cofence, KnowBe4, Wombat, some of these companies that started really engaging employees by sending out simulated phishing emails. And it was really the first sort of cyber-focused market segment where you would do something to build muscle memory in an employee. I think what the difference with CyberRange is, and this concept of really hands-on technical training, which is even more broad than a CyberRange, is we're bringing a curriculum, a prescriptive learning path in a very hands-on way to technical staff within an organization. And just in the same way that you need to train your employees to identify a phishing email, it's the same thing with instant responders, with enterprise defenders. You need to give them exercises and a realistic approach to be able to learn not only individually, but also in a team-based environment. And that's really how the CyberRange market is evolving here, is it's not just on-premise team-based exercises. It's really a much broader platform that we're bringing to take people to the next level in their security career.
And I think there's a new dimension beyond, you know, the idea of training and upskilling our professionals. We also have a labor crisis. I don't know if that was something that you or any of the other companies in the space set out to solve, but we're in a situation right now where, you know, we estimate there'll be 3.5 million unfilled cybersecurity positions open by the end of next year. And forgetting about the exact number, clearly we have a problem. And I think that's something that you address as well.
That's right. And I think that the challenge with that is that I think that a lot of times traditional university education fails to prepare people for a career in cyber because they don't get those hands-on skills. Or, you know, we have a lot of people that may have an aptitude to get into cybersecurity that also have no idea of where to start, and they don't maybe don't have access to a traditional college education. So at Rangeforce, what we can do is there's a great way to expose people to see what their aptitude is like and if they want to get into this. And then certainly we can take the general IT population, give them cybersecurity specific skills, whether that's in specific perimeter control tools, SIM, EDR, next gen AV. We can give them access to those things so that they are able to practice on those tools before they have to do it in real life. If you don't mind, Steve, I'd just love to share a quick story that I heard from one of our customers just the other day.
Sure.
This is a SOC analyst who they had QRadar, Fortune 500 company. They had QRadar in their environment. When he got to the organization, he was not allowed to touch QRadar for 6 months. He had no exposure to the SIM, and he had to really learn on the job, but he never got to access that tool. And I think about, we have QRadar modules in our platform. What a great way to be able to expose an analyst to the tools that they're going to use in real life in a benign cloud-based environment. You know, it's really building up those fundamentals before they have to experience a threat for the first time. And I think that's really the difference with this concept of a cyber range in the cloud, is you can expose your key enterprise defenders to what these things look and feel like before they have to defeat them in real life.
The space is so new that, you know, listening to you, I'm learning as we go. You know, the idea of actually having QRadar in the cloud, you know, that's pretty incredible.
Right. And I think, you know, there's different deployments with these technologies. But we've built out about 15 vendor integrations, and we take our cues from things like the SOAR market, where it's just so important to be able to expose a broad swath of your organization to the key integrations and tools that they're going to have to work with. You know, that's just an essential part. And a lot of times, as you know, these breaches, it's not like the tools miss them. A lot of times it's because the analysts miss that alert. And so we're by being able to exercise people in this cloud-based range environment, we can show them what that alert looks like. And so they can feel it and build that muscle memory for when the real thing happens.
So I want to ask you a couple of questions about the platform. Before I do that, tell me about the company. When did the company launch, and maybe, you know, the key milestones up through today?
Sure. So the company launched in 2015, Rangeforce launched in 2015. We were basically building out technology for a few years. Our go-to-market really started in early 2019, and we've gone from 400 to 300 customers in about 18 months.
Wow.
And so it's been a very, very exciting journey, to say the least, as we've brought this technology to the market. And the legacy really was, as I mentioned, building out that NATO cyber range. But we have a couple of core components now. One is, we think that self-paced asynchronous learning is very important. So as part of our platform, we have about 430 modules, adding 20 plus modules a week, where someone can go in kind of like in a Netflix model. They get a prescriptive learning path, they can do an assessment, see where they are, but they have that self-paced learning available to them. It's very realistic, and every module of VM will spin up. It's very hands-on, and that's one component. And then the other component goes back to that traditional cyber range type environment. It is a team-based cloud cyber range that has full red and blue team attacks. It has full attack emulation, tool emulation as well. And so we're the only player on the market that has that individual component as well as that team-based component. And we think that that combination is really the way that you can take an organization and the resiliency of an organization to the next level.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but most cyber ranges historically have been physical. You know, you would go to the cyber range in Michigan or in Tennessee or, you know, whatever the case may be. And I know that there's still a lot of those operating. How new is the cloud space and how many players are there? I don't think there's many companies who are even doing what you're doing.
There's a handful of companies that are doing it. I think that we all have similar goals, but I think it really goes back to the ease of being able to set up different tools and make that realism as realistic as possible, if you will. So there really are only a handful of players. I think what differentiates RangeForce from maybe some of the other players is that we are 100% cloud-based. We'll do the occasional on-prem piece for, you know, a government or specific client, but really we're 100% cloud-based. And I think the number of alliances that we have with Splunk, Palo, Cisco, Recorded Future, those alliances are very unique to kind of our offering. And they also help us to make those team-based range exercises very realistic. We call that range battle fortress. We call our self-paced battle skills to kind of make it easy and make it clear for customers. But we think that it's a really good approach to be able to bring the realism of those tools through our alliances to the market.
So it sounds like working with, you know, QRadar and some of the other companies that you mentioned, well, that's IBM, but you know, down the line, are you going to be developing for other vendors as you, you know, get requests from CISOs and security teams who are working with you? And maybe there's a new tool they're working with, or maybe there's just a, you know, a vendor that's, you know, growing and, you know, they're on the radar screen. Is the library going to continue to expand?
Absolutely. We're just in process with SentinelOne right now.
Okay.
So we want to build out, our goal is to build out as many of those plugins, if you will, with those key vendors, even startup vendors. If one of our customers asks for that, we want to give them the most realistic possible environment, not only to train their individuals on, but also to train their teams on. And so yes, that's a key part of our roadmap.
Right. And how much involvement is there on the partner side for you to, you know, develop and actually get that into the library?
It's interesting. Usually it's really just about them providing an NFR or an OVA to get us going. And then we develop it. We love to partner and go to market with these with the different alliances and partnerships that we've built. But we consider it a it's what I would say, it's not a heavy lift on their side,
right,
in order to build that out. And frankly, it exposes their technology to the global 2000. And so that's always a positive thing as well.
So I'd really like you to address directly the Fortune 500 CISOs, the global 2000 CISOs, who are watching us. That's a key audience for us. We talk to a lot of people. I think just about every security practitioner understands what a cyber range is, maybe not as intimately as you do, but,
right,
but they get it. We talk to a lot of CISOs, and they don't really completely understand. I don't think the cyber range market is on every CISO's radar yet. Hopefully it
right.
will be, because it's so important. But what's the value proposition if you had to explain it to them?
So I think there's a couple things there, and I'll use another analogy to start. I'll use a sports analogy. And I was actually talking to a SOC director of a major financial institution yesterday. And he said, you know, I have this budget, but training is always getting cut. And I'm thinking to myself, if you're the coach of an NFL team or an NBA team, what is the percentage of time that you spend practicing versus game time? I think it's probably around 90% practice, 10% real life. Now, of course, a CISO or cyber leader doesn't have the luxury to practice all the time, but I just think that we're doing our community a disservice by not giving enterprise defenders a real chance to practice realistically with how these evolving threats look and feel, so that they can have that that response built up before the real thing happens. We all know the threat actors aren't going away, whether that's criminal or nation state. The vectors continue to evolve, and if we can emulate that and make it easy and cost effective for a CISO to give that to their team, that's really where we're coming from. We can dig down to ROI a little bit more and say, there's classes that you can send your folks to that are about $10,000 per week that in a COVID era is very difficult to get to, where they can get certifications. But is that really better than there's always going to be a place for that, no doubt. But is that really better than being able to give someone access to 500 modules anytime they want and being able to drill into a full red blue team exercise 4 times a year at a fraction of the cost? That's how we're thinking about this, is people are learning much differently than they used to. The classroom days, I think, are waning, and people want to learn at their own speed in a very hands-on, realistic way. That's what Rangeforce can bring.
So give us an idea of a real-world company without naming names. So maybe you can think of a mature company who has implemented Rangeforce. How much time do they spend, and exactly what do they do?
Right. No, it's exactly. So there's a couple ways, and I'll just say, we work with about a tenth of the Fortune 500 now.
Okay.
Right. So we're working with those large companies. The key thing that they want to do is they want to give their folks in the SOC, usually where that's where it starts, but it can also be DevOps and application security, because we have content around that as well. Let's just take a SOC team at a major Fortune 500 retailer. They're going to give some assignments to their people in terms of numbers of modules that they want them to complete. That can vary. For this particular company, it's about 10 modules per month.
Okay.
So this is not a major time investment, because they still have a day job. They still have to find those real threats and defeat them, obviously, and keep the network safe. But they're going to give them basically a bite-sized chunk of content to consume. And then what we'll do, what probably 4 times a year, is we'll take them into that cloud-based range. After they've completed that self-paced training, we'll take them into our battle fortress, and the red and blue teams can come together and really work through some real attack scenarios. And I think the great way to think about that is the capstone that from the individual learning.
Right.
And then the cool thing is, when they're done with that team-based range experience, they have the individual learning to go debrief and go drill up and get better on what they missed in the team-based scenario. So it really is an iterative process, and that's just one example of how a customer can use this and really make it very effective. Oh, and by the way, all of this is reported. So now that CISO has operational metrics on how your people are doing, where the gaps are, and how we can make them improve. And I think that operational rigor is very, very important.
So shifting from the CISOs, who are, the coaches, and, focusing on the players, the practitioners, you've been there yourself. How do they feel about, the cyber range and about Rangeforce in particular? Is it a chore? Do they look forward to it? How do they feel afterwards? And, are they possibly even going to, generate new customers for you when they go somewhere else and, don't have a cyber range?
Oh my gosh, we launched our community edition about 3 months ago, and this is really anyone, of course, not anyone nefarious, but anyone in the community who wants to experience Rangeforce can get 20 modules for free. We launched that about 3 months ago. We're approaching 5,000 people in our community. So you think about the practitioners love it. They thirst for this content. They thirst to practice their skills. And I think that's really the exciting thing of what we can bring to the market is we want them in there. We want them to help us make our content better, to make it more realistic. And so the response across the board has been, please keep giving this to us. Give us access. Let us take our careers to the next level. And once again, that failure of traditional learning, I feel like we're filling that gap, and we're able to really upskill a great number of people, and we hope to keep doing that.
So Rangeforce recently introduced a hands-on workforce-ready certificate program. I think it's the first Blue Skills certificate program in our market. Is that right?
That's correct.
And exactly, you know, what is it? Who is it for?
It's for anyone who wants it. So if you're a company that's using Rangeforce, of course, your people have access to that immediately. It is ANSI accredited, and they can also go on Credly and get their certificate. They can use it for continuing education as well. But literally anyone who wants to get, they can either get access to an individual learning path within Rangeforce that's a small incremental cost. We're talking $250. They can get access to a learning path. We will give them that accreditation at the end of completing that learning path. Or they could buy a full license and get access to 4 certifications. So we're serving the market on an individual level as well as on an enterprise level. And even we see a lot of small businesses too that want to come in and provide this for their folks. But you're correct. The first Blue Team certification, and we're super excited to be able to provide that to the community.
Now, Rangeforce held a webinar with the U.S. Cyberspace Solarium Commission. Were you personally on that webinar, or was that something?
It was with Chris Inglis, who was the former deputy director of the NSA. He's on our advisory board as well, and obviously a stalwart, not only in cyber, but in the national security community. And you know, I think that's actually a great thing, Steve, is we have folks like Chris, we have Admiral Jan Tighe on our advisory board. These are folks that came from communities where they literally had, if not unlimited, certainly a very robust training budget. And I think what they've said again and again is that even with that kind of budget, the way that the federal government has trained their cyber workforce is still not sufficient for the threats that we face as a nation. And so I think that they've lent their name to Rangeforce because they believe in this mission of really democratizing technical cybersecurity training. But I'm sorry to interrupt, but Chris is an incredible patriot, incredible man, and we're certainly honored to have had that chat with him.
Well, I asked because Mark Montgomery, who's the executive director at CSC, is on our advisory board. In fact, we had him on a couple of times recently. Great guest. And, you know, he said something the last time we met with him that stood out in my mind. And I'm just going to quote him. He says, some of the same things we're recommending today, we were pushing 23 years ago. And, you know, they're just trying to drive this point home, not just around, cyber range training, but cyber defense in general, and trying to reach the C-suite. Do you think our industry is doing a better job? Do you think in large corporations that CEOs and boardroom executives are paying more attention to the threat?
I think they are. I think they're definitely paying attention to the threat because the consequences are so severe. But I think that this goes back to this is a human problem. And so let's go back to that phishing simulation analogy for a second, right? If you're sending out a phishing simulation to an employee, one employee has to report that, and then hopefully the SOC can do their job. But you have lots of employees who maybe have a chance to see that bad phishing email. When you talk about the people in the SOC, if one person in the SOC does something incorrectly or misses that alert, or something is not configured correctly, or has not seen that vector before, they're the tip of the spear. They're the last line of defense many times. And so the consequences can be even worse, right? And so that's what I think about is like, you know, these companies maybe have, maybe a large company has 400 people in the SOC, maybe it has 30 people in the SOC. As you know, the range can be quite large. Every single person that's on that front line needs to be prepared, just like a professional sports team. They need to practice and be prepared with every resource in my mind that's available to take them to that level of readiness. And so, yes, I think CEOs recognize the financial fallout. They recognize the risks. They obviously make investment in the tools. But when I talk to them, what I say is, please continue to invest in your people. It is a combination of people, process, and tools that will make the organization resilient and be able to defeat that attack. You can't just have one or two of them.
Right.
You got to have all three.
Well, you spoke earlier about, you know, training and the lack of funding sometimes. You know, there should almost be an asterisk next to what you're doing, or maybe even, you know, pull that out of training because it's so important. It's so different. It's not the same thing as getting, you know, a CEH or CISSP or another credential. And those are very important too, but this is altogether different. This is preparing people for battle and what may really happen, what may happen tomorrow or next week.
That's exactly right. I love, so when I was a naval officer, I went to airborne school or parachute school. And before you ever jump out of a plane, you actually practice falling 1500 times just from the ground.
Wow.
And then it gets a little bit higher, 1500 times before you actually jump out of that plane. And I think to myself, you know, that's how you really build up that. It's just muscle memory, because there's different, of course, different angles that you're falling at. Right. And so you're building up kind of contingencies in your mind too, but it's making you stronger so that you can execute and not get hurt when it actually happens. We need to give people, these enterprise defenders, we need to give them those repetitions. And you're exactly right. That's the only way to do it. Certifications are great. Classroom stuff has its place. Every day we need to sharpen the saw. And I think that's the difference with what Range Force is doing, is it's really instilling that into the community.
So you have a really neat program that starts tomorrow, December 11th, in partnership with Cisco Investments. Tell us a little bit about that, the 4-week Blue Team Hackathon series.
Yeah, so we're doing a little holiday challenge with Cisco, who is one of our partners and strategic investors. There's three challenges in there. There's an obfuscation challenge, there's a phishing challenge, and I believe a web challenge. But there's some really cool ways where the participants are going to see real attack vectors. It's going to be a little bit more intense and more difficult than our traditional modules. Everyone that completes, I think we have some prizes there. The first folks that everyone that completes it will get a T-shirt, and then the first people that will complete it and we'll show them on the leaderboard are going to get some Amazon gift cards too. So we think this is a really fun way to bring Range Force out to the world.
So I know the company raised money, I believe it was earlier this year. I wasn't aware that Cisco was one of the investors.
That's right. Yes. Cisco is one of the investors as well as Energy Impact Partners. And that's a firm, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they work with a lot of the world's biggest utilities as their LOPs.
Great. So before you go, we have to ask about the COVID-19 pandemic. It's hard to have a discussion, you know, these days without touching on it. How does that change what you do, if at all, delivering the training? I know you have a cloud-based platform, but you're probably dealing with clients who have a lot of remote employees now.
Everything that we do at Range Force can be delivered remotely. And it was purposely designed. Even Battle Skills, the self-paced, and Battle Fortress, the range exercises, everything can be delivered remotely. And we've purposely designed it to do that. So certainly COVID has affected the finances of a lot of our clients. And I think we've all felt that. But I think on the flip side, we've seen threat actors really take advantage of this time, whether it's all of the recent hacks we've seen in the news, phishing emails up by 75%. All of these things I think the bad guys have seen this as an opportunity to come in and really test the defenses of these organizations. So from our perspective, we think that this is even more of a time for people to practice, especially when they're working from home. What we've seen with this is another major client of ours. We've seen that it brings the engagement together so that the enterprise defenders have a place to practice together and a common goal of upskilling there within the organization, and they have that platform within Range Force to do it. So it's obviously been unfortunate for all of us. We're looking forward to getting this vaccine and getting back on the road and seeing our clients and having that engagement. But I think that it has forced the issue that the world doesn't stop, the bad guys don't stop, and you got to keep making your people stronger even in a global pandemic.
So last question, Range Force is hot. A lot of us are following you in the market right now. What's ahead for you 2021, you know, the next 2-3 years? You know, what's the roadmap? What are clients looking forward to?
Right. Well, you're going to continue to see incredible content come out of us on that self-paced platform. You're going to continue to see us build out some amazing alliances with our other, with the other vendors in the market. It's going to make that Battle Fortress range even more powerful, more realistic. And we want to make sure that no matter what organization we go into, we can really emulate that environment as closely as possible. And then I think the third thing that's really interesting is, there's a lot of data out there, and we want to make sure at the end of the day, we're not the training business. We're in the resiliency business. If we're training people with content that's not timely and we're not making them stronger, then we're not doing our job. And so we want to use that operational data. We want to provide that to CISOs and even to CIOs and say, hey, this is what makes your organization strong. This is where there's some gaps. This is how your folks use those tools well. This is how they don't use them very well. And really, I think that's going to help us provide better ROI. At the end of the day, it makes the organization more ready. It gives more timely intelligence and telemetry on how people are using investments. And that's really our vision for this community and for this company is to really take that and broaden that. And then I think, you know, really maybe the most important piece of all that is how do we get more great people, a more diverse group of people into cybersecurity? When you, as you know, Steve, when you get into this community, it literally is zero unemployment.
Right.
And there's so many people out there that don't even know what it takes. We give free licenses to organizations like NPower and Europe that focus on underprivileged youth and people that don't have access to traditional college educations. We see such amazing stories of Fortune 100 organizations hiring those people to go work in their SOC. I think that's the broader mission here is we want to get them a chance to take their careers to the next level, earn a great livelihood, and that really does change the world at the end of the day because they're the ones that are going to keep all of us safe. Keep our finances safe, keep all those things safe. And that's a really noble job for them to be able to get into. And we're honored to enable that.
Well, you've set the stage for our next interview. We can't take up too much time now, but we're very involved here with diversity initiatives, with women in cybersecurity, minorities, mm-hmm. youth. So I'd love to have you back for another discussion.
Absolutely. Well, appreciate the opportunity. It's a pleasure to chat and we'll look forward to the next time.
I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was Gordon Lawson, president and chief revenue officer at RangeForce, developer of the world's most comprehensive cybersecurity training and cyber skills assessment program. To learn more about our sponsor, RangeForce, visit rangeforce.com. You can keep up with all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.